Hey, it's good to see you. I really missed the California weather. In Korea, I mean, it was fun to be there, but it was really hot and very humid. Even at night, you had to turn on the AC to sleep, and I really missed the weather in California. It's good to be back. We're beginning a new series, it's the same series. We're following the same series in our Sunday school curriculum. And the theme for this unit is Jesus, the Miracle Worker. And then today, the title is In the Fourth Watch of the Night. And the text is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 22 through 33. Let me read that for us. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, or in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So I recently visited South Korea from SFO. It takes about 12 hours to get to Korea, but on the way back, it takes 1 hour less, 11 hours. And we know that it takes longer to go to Korea because you are traveling against the wind. And actually, 1 hour delay against the wind is not that bad. I once went canoeing in a very small lake in Florida, and it just took me like 5 minutes to cross the lake to the other side when there wasn't much wind. But when I tried to get back, I was rowing against the wind, and you know, although I put in my best effort, I really rowed with all my might, the wind kept pushing me to the edges of the lake, so I had to go all the way around the edge back to where the deck was. So it took me like 20 minutes, like four times as much time to get back. Today's story takes place on a lake, the Lake of Galilee, and it's quite a big lake. It's about 12 miles north and south and 7 miles east to west. It seemed so big to the Jews that they called it the Sea of Galilee. And chronologically, today's event happened right after the feeding of the 5,000 on a mountainside. And today's text says that Jesus made the disciples get on the boat immediately. So immediately after they finished their dinner, they got onto the boat. In the old NIV, it says that the evening came, or it was a sunset. There was a sunset when the disciples were a considerable distance away from the land. So the disciples left sometime before the sunset. And I checked on the data on the internet, and in the summer months in Israel, the sun sets around 7:45 p.m. So they may have left around 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. Now, many of the disciples were professional fishermen. They were not only good at fishing, but they were very good at rowing the boat. They have been on the lake night and day, you know, thousands of times before, and that was their neighborhood. They knew the lake like the palm of their hand, and they could have easily gone to the other side in 2 or 3 hours. But as they rowed toward the other side, they were met with a very strong wind, and the wind made the waves bigger and bigger. And so they were rowing against the wind and the waves, and it was almost like a small storm. And I'm sure that the wind was much stronger than the one I faced in that small lake in Florida. Though the disciples were experienced sailors, it may have taken them 4 or 5 times longer to travel. And that is really what happened. The text says that Jesus came walking on the lake at the fourth watch of the night, or before dawn. That's how the Romans kept their time. Fourth watch of the night is between 3 a.m. to about 6 a.m., you know, 3 a.m. to sunrise. If we assume that Jesus came to them at 4 a.m. in the morning, and they left around 7 p.m., then they have been rowing on the lake for 9 hours. Can you imagine just rowing against the wind for 9 hours straight? The fourth watch of the night is the darkest part of the day. It is the coldest part. The temperature drops to the lowest level during that time. And if we and the military, it is the worst time to be assigned for a night watch. I've heard that in the military, those who watch, between the time they're standing as guards, and yet they're sleeping like this, they're standing and they're sleeping. And when I was in seminary, my friends and I, we traveled during our winter break. We drove all the way. We traveled down to Florida. We drove like 20, 21 hours straight, and we took turns driving. On our second trip, my time to drive was between that, 3 a.m. to 6 p.m., in the fourth watch of the night. And I tried so hard to stay awake, but I found myself dozing off as I was driving. And my, a friend on the passenger side, he had to keep nudging me. He had to, keep bothering me to let me stay awake. And if I had dozed off, for a few more seconds, we might have gotten into a big accident. So the fourth watch of the night is a tough time. The disciples had been rowing for hours. All night, they were exhausted. They were frustrated. Back in Matthew 8, they saw Jesus calming the storm, but Jesus was not there with them. He was not on the boat. In the fourth watch of the night, in the midst of a storm, that's when God seemed small to them. God seemed very distant. God seemed uncaring to the disciples. But the darkest part of the night is when Jesus comes to us as the Lord of the sea and the waves. Jesus comes near to speak the words of encouragement. Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. The Gospel of Mark tells us that while Jesus was praying on the mountain, he saw the disciples straining at the oars. He knew what was going on. Jesus knew how frustrated, how tired, how exhausted they were, and he cared. So as Jesus was praying on that mountain, I am sure that Jesus was also praying for the disciples who were staying, who were just struggling on the lake. And Jesus came toward the disciples to be present in their struggle. So when the night seems the darkest, Christ is nearest. But some may wonder, why did Jesus wait until 4 a.m. in the morning to come to them? Jesus saw them struggling right after the sunset, 9 hours ago. Why didn't Christ come to them then? The text does not really give us the answer, so we don't know, but we can take a guess. When they first encountered a strong wind, perhaps the disciples thought, no problem. We've been through windy situations before. We can handle this. We are professional fishermen. And this is our neighborhood. But after rowing all night against the wind, they might have thought, oh, this, we cannot do this anymore. We are doomed. The sea is too strong for us. Perhaps God lets us struggle so that we would realize our limitations and our weaknesses. God leaves us in our struggle so that we would have to exercise some faith and call out to God. And in our struggle, we can see the reality of who God is. In Mark's version of the same story, it says that Jesus intended to pass them by on the water. Why did Jesus want to pass his disciples by? A scholar named David Garland points out that the verb parakomai, to pass by, is a technical term that describes a theophany, which is the appearance or the self-revelation of God. God put Moses in a cleft of a rock so Moses could see God's glory as he passed Moses by. God told Elijah to stand at the foot of a mountain because the Lord was about to pass him by. In each of these instances, there is a pattern. God was getting people's attention through a burning bush, through wind and fire, or by walking on water to reveal himself and call that person to a specific mission. So when Jesus came intending to pass them by, he was not just showing some kind of a magic thing, but he was revealing his divine power and his divine presence. It is a revelation. It is a theophany. Often the revelation of God's truth does not come to us when we are comfortable, when everything is going well for us. The revelation of God's presence often comes to us when we are struggling with our difficulties, when we are struggling with our faith. It comes to us as a gift, as God's grace. In their struggle against the storm, when they were about to give up, Jesus reveals himself as the great I am. Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. In the original Greek, it says, courage, I am, don't be afraid. Ego eimi, I am. I am is the name of God. When God speaks to Moses through the burning bush, Moses asks, if the Israelites ask what the name of God is, our God is, what should I say? Then God says, tell them that my name is I am. That can be translated as I am who I am, or I will be what I will be. And I am in Hebrew is Yahweh. Yahweh is the name of God that was revealed to Moses. And that is the name of God that is used throughout the Old Testament scripture. So in the midst of the storm, Jesus was telling the disciples, courage, it is Yahweh. Don't be afraid. Take courage because God who made the universe, the Lord of the wind and the seas, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Israel, the God of Moses, God of Elijah, is with you and for you, so don't be afraid. And we hear this message throughout the whole Bible. Let me just give you one example in Isaiah 43. God says to Israel, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And the very structure of today's story shows the message of the text. The word I am is at the very center of the story. There are 40 words before the word I am and 40 words following the word I am. The primary message is about who Jesus is. Jesus is the great I am. He is Yahweh. Jesus is not just a prophet or a miracle worker who can multiply fish and bread. He is the very God who made the universe. Jesus is the Lord whom the wind and the waves must obey. And when Jesus got on the boat, the wind died down. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on water and calming the wind, they recognized his divinity. And they worshiped Jesus as God, as Yahweh. Truly, you are the Son of God. God's passing by, God's self-revelation prompts us to worship. So the primary message of the text is that Jesus is Yahweh and that Jesus reveals himself to us in the midst of our struggle. And that is something we should keep reciting to ourselves throughout this week. Courage, Yahweh, fear not. Take courage, Yahweh is with you. So do not be afraid. And just as these words calmed the fear in Peter's heart, they can calm the fear in our hearts. There is also a secondary message, and that has to do with the story of Peter. Only Matthew has a story about Peter walking on water. No other Gospels have the story. And this is where we can draw an application for us today. When Peter hears the words, "Courage, I am, fear not," Peter thinks of something that no other disciples dared to think. He thinks, "I want to walk on water like Jesus." Only Peter can come up with an idea like that. And this desire was not really from Peter. This desire came from the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus gave the courage for Peter to dare to think about walking on water. But Peter himself was not sure if that was his idea. So he asked, "Lord, if it is really you, would you command me? Would you empower me to walk on water?" And Jesus answers in the affirmative, "Come." And empowered by his invitation, Peter jumps off the boat, and to his surprise, he does not sink in the water, but he is supported by the water. And he takes steps, baby steps, toward Jesus on water. You know, I'm sure many of us have seen the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, an old movie, but a goodie. Indiana has to pass three tests in order to reach the Holy Grail and save his father. The third test was called the Path of God, and it is the most difficult one. Indiana comes to the edge of a cliff. There's a large chasm, and the chasm is so deep that you cannot see the bottom. On the other side is a doorway to the Holy Grail. And the instruction says, only in the leap from the lion's head will he prove his worth. So Indiana says to himself, "This is impossible. No one can, you know, make that jump." But his father says, "You have to believe, you have to believe." So then Indiana realizes that, you know, it would require a leap of faith. So he walks to the edge of a cliff, and he lifts his foot and is closing his eyes, and he takes a step. And, you know, you would expect him to fall, but then he is supported by an invisible force. And he later sees that there is sort of an invisible path across that big chasm, and he gets to cross that gap. When Peter took that first step on water, he was held up by an invisible force. To walk on water, you have to take that first step. And that is the first step of faith, first step of obedience. And it's the same in the Old Testament times as well. When Joshua led the Israelites across the River Jordan, which was flooding at the time, God's people They trusted that God would carry them across the river, but they had to take the first step into the water. They had to get their feet wet. And when the priests stepped into the River Jordan, that's when the river stopped flowing and they were able to cross on a dry land. So God helps people grow their faith when people take a small step of faith in obedience. So for us, what small steps of faith can we take to experience God's presence and power? Maybe it is taking the small step of giving a set amount regularly and generously for God's kingdom work. Maybe it is taking a small step of confessing a sin to a brother or a sister, or confronting a believer with truth and love. Or it may be taking a small step of using my gifts to serve other people, or a small step of sharing my faith with my coworker, or inviting a neighbor to the Alpha course. When we get out of our comfort zone and take the step of faith toward Jesus, we can experience God's power and his presence in a new way. We may be able to accomplish things that we thought were not possible. We will be walking on water with Jesus. When we lose our focus, even when we lose our focus, and we will, and fail and sink, we know that Jesus will be there to pick us up. Mark 9 tells us of a father who came to Jesus because he wanted his son to be healed, to be healed of his demon possession. And the father says, "Jesus, if you can, please help us." And Jesus replies, "If I can, everything is possible for the one who believes." Then the father says, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." Like many of us, the father had both faith and doubt mixed in his heart. Well, how much faith did that father need to have? An author, Ole Helsby, writes that he just had enough faith to come to Jesus, and that was enough. How much faith do we need to walk on water or to do the impossible? Just enough faith to take one step toward Jesus Christ. That may be enough. Let's close our eyes and let's pray. At this time, Junghan will come and lead us in response to the message.
Let's spend some time to respond to the word that has been spoken to us. It is July 23rd, and more than halfway through this year. Perhaps we have, as individuals, gone through multiple fourth watches of the night. After all, you know, we live on a time schedule, and the sun rises and sets faithfully every day, and we go through our ups and downs as individuals, as a family, as a community. The question I would like to ask is, have we had these God moments? As Pastor Joe shared with us, the theophanies, God passing us by. Or perhaps we may be missing the point of our struggles and are simply struggling with our struggles. Especially as Christians and people who go to faith church faithfully every week, maybe we are so busy being Christians that we miss